Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ted, you consider yourself to be a bit of a history buff, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was the only class that I was good at in high school. My only AP class, AP Euro.
I never took an AP class.
You never took one?
No, I took an honors class, but I don't really know the difference.
AP is for the high tier achievers.
Oh, what?
Honors is for the bitch dorks.
I just called you a history buff, and then you just turn around and slap me?
Yeah, I called you a bitch dork, too. I didn't even just call you a dork. I called you a bitch dork.
That was so rude.
Yeah, it was. It was, but it needed to be said.
Well, you took AP Euro, European History, right? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, yeah. European History.
And I took International Relations, honors class.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought we were going to talk about the war in the Middle East. We did not.
You just wanted to go in there and just debate about the war.
I just wanted to discuss my opinions on Afghanistan.
We needed to be there. He wanted to go in and say, we needed to be there.
And I'm trying to get over there. You guys aren't taking this seriously. You guys are not taking this seriously. I'm trying to get there.
But yeah, no, I'm a history buff. I'm a history buff. I know a thing or two about history. But now I carry with me just an above average set of general knowledge, I'd say. I'm the king of... That's something you probably have heard me say before. General knowledge.
Yeah, tell me something general about Europe.
Something general about Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Wow, something general... Something general about Europe.
All right, so clearly it's been a while since Ted's taken a history class.
We're talking about the best empires in history. Let's take it easy. Something about history. I mean, I don't know, fucking, oh man, there's, I mean, you want just one thing? That's such
if you
a
could just give
thing.
Me one piece of general knowledge, I think that would kind of give you a little prerequisite.
Okay, fine, like, fine, fine.
Authority
okay, fine,
over
fine,
this
fine,
conversation.
Fine. The Vikings discovered the Americas before Columbus.
That sounds more like American history than European.
I'm sorry. Where are the Vikings from exactly?
The Arctic. But is discovering America American crazy. History or
They're
is it European
from,
history?
No. Don't roll over that. They're not from the
they
Arctic.
They liked it cold. They
okay,
liked it
but
cold.
They're from Europe. They're from
okay,
Europe.
Okay, but where are they from in Europe, Ted?
Finland, Denmark, Sweden.
That sounds right to me. It looks like you passed. So now
they
call, I'm going
to grant you some
authority.
And when they got to America, they called it Vinland.
I've got a little fun fact about this, actually.
Are you just like, you wanted information.
Well, no, now I'm
I
ready
give it to you.
Discuss.
I give it to you. That's a pretty fun fact.
Yeah, no, I'm about to add on.
Okay.
Well, this is a conversation now. So I was reading this book. About cod, the codfish, right? And it starts with the history of it as a trade resource. And America, or like the Americas, specifically like Canada, United States.
Wait, hold. Can I just stop you there for 1 second?
What?
Didn't you read this book like 2 years ago?
I read it last year.
Oh, okay.
Why?
I'm just having deja vu. I'm just having a deja vu. I feel like I, you know.
Deja vu of you interrupting me before.
I said, let me, and you did, which means it was okay.
So, where was I?
About the cod in the Americas and what they found out.
Like the shore of Canada and Cape Cod and New England and that region was discovered far earlier than Columbus ever landed in the Caribbean. But right. We just weren't, we being like Europeans, I guess, weren't landing there. We were just fishing the offshore waters. But we were routinely sailing from Portugal, Spain, England, Ireland, all those places were coming all the way to Newfoundland to fish, to bring it all the way back for hundreds of years.
That just seems like such a pain in the ass.
It seems like a monstrous pain in the ass. I know. How much fish could you fit on an old boat like that? I mean, I guess a lot.
Yeah, because a transatlantic trip right now takes like 7 to 10 days.
Oh, I think this was like, all right, I'll see you next year, honey. I got to fishing.
Like, that just seems like, because this must have taken them weeks, and they're just going for fish. I'm like, okay, cod can't be that good.
Salt, that tasty. It's not. I don't think it was necessarily the taste. I think cod is a very unoffensive and mildly pleasant flavor.
Straightforward. You're really into the fish right now. You know, be great if it's halfway through the episode you just pull out a full cod.
It's like squirming around.
It's alive, also, I guess.
I've never caught a cod, partly because these people fucked up our hundreds of years of fucking up our fisheries. But this book got me interested in history. It got me like reinvigorated in it. So once I get through this, we can shift to another aspect of history. We'll just go from history to history. Today's a history lesson. So I think the reason that they're fishing for cod is because it's really mild and pleasant, but the main reason is that it preserves incredibly well. They were salting it. Salt cod was a mainstay food for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. Mm. Probably not thousands, but I could see it being 1,000 years. Where people
that being 1,000-year meal.
There were producing salt cod because other fish had different fat content, different kind of like style of meat that just wouldn't preserve as well. And cod was, and it really was, incredibly plentiful. Now it is very politically divisive talking about cod. And like,
is it really?
Yeah, it doesn't make like mainstay politics.
What would it skew, do you think? What would you think the conversation on cod skews in terms
like
of
left or
spectrum?
Right?
Yeah, like is that more of a Democratic or a Republican issue?
I would say that overfishing cod is probably something that Democrats want to fix. But I would say that Democrats probably also consume more fish than Republicans from the ocean.
Okay, because
but
on
I would
the coast.
Say, yeah, there are a lot more coastal cities,
yeah,
and more immigrant populations. I feel like Midwestern United States demographic not eating a lot of ocean food, not a lot of seafood. Like when you're in the Marines, you'll meet some guy from like Nebraska. He's never had any seafood.
Really?
Like, yeah. So
is this a real thing that happened to you? You met a guy that never ate seafood before?
Yeah, Tippett's had never fucking eaten seafood. It was not an uncommon thing to meet a guy from some landlocked ass state who really had never eaten seafood. Maybe they had like catfish.
Yeah, well they probably had something from a river or a pond. They were eating some sort of gunky pond fish.
And also, this brings me to another thought that I've just been having lately that it's unrelated to history, but this is a good thought.
Yeah.
So if you take like someone like my parents, who are like, I would say like upper middle class, right?
Mm-hmm.
They like their land-based meat farm raised. They want chickens, they want beef, they want pigs, etc. They do not want venison. They do not want any kind of game meat. They want nothing wild caught. They don't want rabbit. They don't want squirrel. They don't want moose. They don't want elk. They don't want deer. None of that, right? Like, they're disgusted by that.
No,
talk.
Keep
they're
going, like, keep going, keep going, keep going. Name more. Name more.
Well, they don't want rabbit. Look at my mammals.
They don't want rabbit. They don't want bear. Fucking,
I don't want bear.
They don't want boar.
No, they don't. They definitely don't want boar.
They don't
and honestly,
want that boar.
I would be a little worried about eating boar too.
Yeah, that seems like the kind of animal that got worms all in it.
Dirty, I feel like.
That seems like the kind of animal that got worms in the meat. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I
that
do
seems
know
like
what
the
mean.
Kind of animal you that's, eat it, and like that's like the beginning of the next zombie apocalypse. Like the like.
Oh, if you needed to, totally could eat it. Because if you cook it well enough, you're fine. But
I feel like I'd be infected, like it's a cordyceps virus in The Walking Dead. Like if I ate a boar, like or I get
they'd be
or,
like or, they, you like stumble into some survivors. Like, oh, what happened to you? Are you infected? You're like, nah, I just ate boar.
No, I'd be infected him, like symptoms. What Miyazaki? I'd be infected like that boar in Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind.
Oh, that's the boar you're eating, and then you Prince Ashitaka
well,
with that
what
dark
I think
arm
is inside the boar. That's what I think is inside the boar. I think all that fucking black shit's in the boar, and it's gonna get me, and then I'm gonna be like.
I saw that in IMAX last year. I saw a screening of it in Springfield, Mass. There was like
that's a good one. I feel like. My first impression of a lot of the Miyazaki movies was with you because we watched Nausicaa. We watched
that one's a long Nausicaa.
We
can
watched
be a little
fucking
bit of a slog.
Honestly, I think one of my favorite Ghibli movies is the one where the big bugs are destroying. The toxic jungle.
Yeah, that's Nausicaa.
Then what am
Nausicaa
I thinking?
In the Valley of the Wind. There's a
oh,
toxic
that's Nausicaa.
Jungle.
So that's Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind.
You're thinking of Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Princess Mononoke for the boar.
For the boar, yeah. That's the one I just saw in the... I think I was also confused. I think you said Nausicaa originally. I just went with it, but I was thinking about Princess Mononoke as well.
Yeah, something... Well, they kind of have the
something
same energy
happened
to them
just
a little
now.
Bit. They have the same energy to them a little bit because you've got like some
it's like
sort
an environmentalist
of, like,
storytelling kind of...
Yeah, and then going. You got like some sort of wild woman...
Yeah, well, he does. There's actually a YouTube video that's been in my algorithm all week. That's currently now in my watch later, called "How Miyazaki Writes Men," which I'm very interested because he does a female protagonist a lot, really well. So if you've also seen that in your watch later or in your homepage, I've also
yeah,
been
I would
looking
say
at it.
I would say that a lot of Ghibli movies pass the Bechdel test.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
Ghibli movies are so authentic. It's
you know what's great is that I had like I was considering there being maybe a 50% chance you even knew what that was. So I'm honestly impressed with you.
We've been hanging out for a while, so I know these little film terms now.
All right, what's the Bechdel test then?
It's like has to do with if there being like a woman who's like a main like a character that isn't that has like a certain amount of lines or something. It has to do with like equal representation of women in film.
Well, to my knowledge, it's when
you don't even know either.
No, I'm just covering my bases before I explain it to you. It's when two women speak to each other, and that the conversation that they're having isn't about a man.
There was something I want to bring us. Back to where we left off on the history side of things, but I can't remember where.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Dude, I was trying to talk about my parents, and then you started freaking out about the boar. And you took us down like this. So, my parents.
Sorry, I got so... encapsulated with the war. You're right. No, I did take us really far away from home though, huh? I really grabbed what I was trying to say. I really grabbed the boar line and I was like, yeah, boars are rotten. Oh man.
Focus up.
I can't stop thinking about the boar, man.
Upper middle class Americans generally really like all their land-based meat from farm animals. But
it's because of the fucking government, dude.
They're like grossed out by hunting and by game meat and whatever. But they like their seafood wild caught. They want wild caught fish. They do not want farm raised fish. They're okay, like, but oh, isn't farm it like raised salmon. Hard? Ew. No, but they're grossed out by hunting. But then they're grossed out by like salmon farming. Or like oyster farm. They want naturally caught. They want us to go out into the wilds and round up a school of fish and drag them back to shore. They do not want you to raise those in like a pen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know what I think that is? You know what I think that what that's about?
What's up?
I think that's entirely related to where we grew up.
Yeah, it's definitely like a very...
That's a New England view.
The strong New England, modern New England value.
Yeah, because you've got...
Especially like New England suburbs.
Well, yeah, like, because the whole thing with the sea is you've got like an aesthetic with that. You've got that old man sailor at his lighthouse wearing his yellow raincoat and his black dog, his black... Yeah. Lab kind of mixed dog. He's smoking a pipe and he's thinking about his days on the sea, bringing back fresh cod before they were gone.
And then you've got some fat dude wearing orange who's gnawing on a deer who voted for Reagan.
And that's
who they're, that's what they're associated with game meat.
Yeah.
So that's where they've created this. And New England is like, there's at least there were a lot of old pastures and like kind of like old dairy farms and stuff. So there is kind of like that farm aesthetic as well. But unless you go out of your way, that's not where your meat is coming from.
Oh, no.
We get all of our dairy local, but not meat.
You think?
I know. I've been to the farm. We get
it from raw milk.
It's not raw.
I fucking hate the whole raw milk thing. I think it's nasty.
You don't eat raw milk? You don't, I mean, drink it? I mean, maybe you're eating it. I don't know. How thick is it?
I drink 2%. I drink it pasteurized, man.
Well, you could, do Europeans, do they do it raw? Or do they pasteurize it?
I think they just keep their eggs on their counter. I don't know about the raw milk aspect. I think, honestly, Europe's a little bit more strict on sort of like what sort of products they can sell to people and stuff.
They're definitely more strict on like Red 40.
Yeah.
Which I don't think Red 40's going anywhere.
Can we also you did say that. Can we also talk about the update on the fucking bingo thing that we didn't talk about? Tucker had made a prediction at the beginning of the year that Kanye will return to glory is what he said. And then like less than a month later, Kanye West, and people are saying this is because he's releasing a new album, but he released this whole big giant apology for his behavior over the last couple of years. And I saw that and I was like, holy shit. I don't know if Tucker's got his little finger on the pulse of Kanye's intentions, but
I do listen to a lot of Kanye.
Yeah, I do. So that was cool.
It's the middle of February, and a lot of us are at that point where we're really slowing down on our New Year's resolutions. And I get it. Life gets busy, schedules fill up, energy runs low, and staying on track of your goals can just feel impossible. But what if eating healthy didn't have to be hard? Well, Factor makes healthy eating easy with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs. Factor offers meals that fit both your goals and your schedule. High protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, and ready-to-eat salads. Plus, their new Muscle Pro collection supports strength and recovery. Factor uses quality, functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. Their meals have no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. And all meals are always fresh, never frozen, and ready in about 2 minutes.
Hey, easygoers, I don't know if this is going to end up with the ad or not, but I'm unpacking my my factor right now, and I thought I would film it because this is what I usually do every week on Sundays. I got roasted garlic chicken. I got Parmesan sun-dried tomato chicken penne. That looks pretty good. I'm probably going to eat that one first. Shredded chicken taco bowl. That one's a banger. That one's a banger every time. Shredded beef tinga bowl. Never had that before, but I was interested in it, so I think I'm going to try it.
Head to factormeals.com/takeiteasy50off and use code takeiteasy50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year while subscription is active. Thanks to Factor for sponsoring us, and now let's get back to the episode.
But one of the things, before we, so we can get into this history conversation that we're going to have, one thing that I did want to say about when you were talking about salting meat on ships is yes. that I think that, I think that I would have loved to have a salted meat.
I think about this all the
to
time.
A degree is what led me.
That's
to
why you bought those fucking meat things.
Those. Meat chips, the meat snacks, the wrap snacks.
They really were meat chips. They were like as thin as a chip.
Well, because you got to understand the advertisement that I got.
I've been getting them nonstop, dude.
Have you seen the one with the old guy from like the low angle where he's like, look at this. This is a meat chip. It's just salt and meat. And he eats it. And it look in the advertisement, it's like, dang, that sounds pretty good. And to a certain degree, I think it activated a part of my brain that was really interested in having that salted ship meat. I thought I was going to get salted ship meat. And if anything, we don't even know, because neither of us have had this salted meat on the ships from back in the day. You could have been eating in that, and that could have been your genuine reaction to that sort of meat. So what do you have to say for yourself?
I think that the fact that they're advertising the way they are is kind of indicative that the product is not good. I am kind of biased into thinking if you're advertising to me, then your product is bad.
You think that advertisements indicate the product is bad?
Yeah, because anything that's fantastic does not need to advertise. You know what I mean? Like, they're not... Let me try to think. Like,
this is a really bold claim, I hope you realize. This is a bold claim, and I feel like it can quickly.
Let's think about this.
A lot of holes in it.
I feel like
you're flying right over the artillery right now. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I am taking fire right now. The plane has been hit.
Yeah, I haven't had to say anything yet, and I kind of feel like you're kind
of flying over the enemy's base of War Thunder right now, trying to.
Yeah, I feel like your head, you're like going through all the things where you're like, shit, I've seen an advertisement for fucking ketchup before, huh? I've seen an advertisement for a fucking burger place.
They advertise just Heinz, and you know what Heinz is. That's like a...
Yeah, but if they have like to say what it is, then doesn't that mean it's bad?
They don't have to tell you it's ketchup. That's how you know it's good. This is like a Heinz thing that they do. They say like, oh, pass the Heinz. And they're like, we don't need to tell you it's ketchup because everybody knows what you're talking about.
I've seen the clip from Mad Men. Don't worry.
Yeah. I never even watched Mad Men, dude. But I saw that clip. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I love Heinz.
I've seen that clip from Mad Men as well. I haven't watched Mad Men to its entirety. I've watched a couple episodes. I watched a couple episodes and I was like, I'm getting bummed out watching this.
Is it a bummer? That's the only clip I've ever seen, and I was like, I love Heinz.
Well, because the guy's, you know, I mean, you find this out right from the get-go, but the dude's cheating on his wife.
No!
He's cheating on his wife, and it's like all this 50s sort of misogyny nonsense going on, too.
Horrible.
Bunch of fake shit that never happened.
is really overblown, isn't it?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, so to bring me back to why I was thinking that they're advertising that is probably trash, right? Because remember that elk jerky Tippett's brought? There ain't no fucking advertisements for that, and that was probably the best thing you've ever put in your mouth.
Dude, it is really shocking how often I think about it.
Like,
talking like maybe once every 2 months. Once every 2 months.
Yeah.
You need to explain what this is for people. Because we probably talked about it before. We probably talked about it before on like Chuckle and stuff. But like, I don't know if
this, is the official discussion. So my good friend Tippett's, that's his last name, from the Marine Corps, he flew out for my wedding. And Ted's with me. We pick him up at Logan Airport.
Because we're going, we're doing the bachelor weekend thing.
We're going to the Cape. And Tippett's gets in the car. He's like, he's like munching on something. He's like, hey, you guys want some of this jerky? It's elk jerky. And we were like, oh, all right. It's just like a Ziploc bag with like a fucking
Even a Ziploc bag. It's like a fucking one of those things you get at a market where it's like a, yeah,
it's a
no
farmer's market.
You close it by grabbing the top of the bag and spinning it.
It was very much a Rocky Mountain farmer's market item.
Mm.
And he shows up, we're like, yeah, sure. It's like pellets almost, like little nuggets. It's not like a Jack Link's.
It looks like caught up pieces of hot dog almost.
And it was divine. It was the greasiest, juiciest little bite of meat ever.
Yeah, the leading note of it was greasy in terms of flavor, but it was like...
It was like melt in your mouth.
It was perfect. It was perfect, and we've been thinking about it for almost 5 years now.
Yeah. It was like little Wagyu bites. That's what it tasted like.
Well, no, it was totally... You wouldn't even call it Wagyu. It was something entirely different.
And I don't know. Is that just a wild elk? Did somebody just like shoot that elk out in the mountain and make that?
Yeah, they shot it and then they dragged it right over to the grinder, threw it through, and they pulled out all that came out.
Oh, it was great, and we have been after it ever since. Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, can we get? I will pay you to send me some. And he's like, oh, it's not as good anymore.
Yeah, I think that was a cover
up. I don't know how true that. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. See, I don't know how true that is.
I'm too lazy to do this, or like I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, but and you know he was swimming in it. You know he was swimming in it at home. He was just having as much as he wants.
He probably
still is. Much as he wants.
This episode is a history episode, though. This whole episode is going to be us trying to get back to the topic.
History. Well, we're going to talk about the great... Okay, fine.
Wait.
Fine. Ancient Egypt. What do we think? Well, okay. Are we ranking these? Or like... We're talking about what's the best...
You're stuck on the rank, Ted. The conversation is flowing
so nicely.
I'm not stuck
on it. I'm asking a question.
The conversation is flowing so nicely. Let's not try to force it into a route. You want to talk about ancient Egypt? Let's talk about ancient Egypt. I think about this regularly to where I wish I could just see for just a few minutes, like what Egypt looked like 2000 BC or whatever, for just like... Like, what did the life look like? What did the village look like? The city look like? I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, is it recognizable at all to modern humanity? Like, does it share any similarities with, like, Mathari in Kenya? Or is it totally new thing? And I think about it all the time. And you know what actually keeps me... Well, sometimes this is like a fear, but it's not actually a fear because that'd be really irrational. But I'm like, oh, what if I got sent back in time, like to the medieval times? Like, oh, it'd suck so bad. But then I'm always like, well, they got bread and butter, though.
Mm.
Like, I eat like sourdough bread from the local bakery and like local butter. Like, it's the same ingredients that they've been doing for a long time. So that gives me peace of mind to be like, if I got sent back, I would have that at least. But ancient Egypt, that's a pretty mesmerizing civilization. Why did you bring it up? What do you have?
You know what I'll say about ancient Egypt? Definitely to the same level. I would say that people view ancient Egypt in the same way that a lot of people view dinosaurs.
Whoa. That makes me think Netflix just released a new dinosaur thing. I really want to watch it. But yeah. What do you mean by that? Like, it's like so far removed that it's kind of not real.
I think that it is a zone of fantastical imagination for people that I don't think many civilizations are able to be equivalent on, you know? Because there's so many parts of Egypt that are cool. They were writing on weird paper. Papyrus?
Papyrus.
A fucking papyrus.
Like, well, I feel like...
You know, with the papyrus thing, I feel like there was a handful of people who were writing on papyrus, but like Egyptians generally were not writing on papyrus.
Okay, yeah.
That's been my stance on papyrus for a long time.
Carving that shit into the wall. They're fucking carving that shit into stone.
Even that was only like a handful of guys.
Okay, but that's the shit that lasted. That's the shit that we know about. You know, I'm sure plenty of them were jerking off, but we don't have any of their
dude. I would say like all of them were
talk about.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I'm not trying to argue with you. I was just like
attacked. I feel attacked because I feel like papyrus,
that
terrible font, interesting topic for writing material.
It is a terrible font. It is.
Terrible font.
You know, I was terrible picking font. A font when I shouted out Derek on the last episode. If you guys haven't seen Derek's Twitch streams, go check them out. They are fantastic. When I was putting the shout out for him in the last episode, I was having to pick the font. And every time I have to pick a font now, I'm always just like, damn. Like,
what if I just went?
Ted would be disappointed no matter what I pick.
Really?
Yeah. Anytime I've ever picked a font in my entire time working in this field, you're always like, that looks fucking terrible.
I don't ever think that I've spoken like that about critique to you. I think that you need to give that another try.
Very strong opinions on fonts.
Oh, I do have strong opinions on fonts.
And I'm always like, oh. I think it looks fine. I would never have noticed.
Now let me ask you this.
But I will say your font choices are always good. Like I'm always like, that looks really good. But so when I was picking it, tell me what you thought about the Derek shout out. Did the font look good? I don't know. I think it looked fine.
I didn't even say anything about the Derek shout-out, though. You're making it sound like
we started talking about
Derek
papyrus.
Shout-out
font. I was preemptively feeling judged when I was picking out the font.
Interesting.
But it wasn't papyrus, which...
I believe you. But honestly, now that given the amount that we've talked about papyrus, I feel like...
This next Derek shout-out will be in papyrus.
It better be in papyrus. I'll tell you what. That speaks to, because you were saying, oh, not everyone was using papyrus. Papyrus, not a big deal in Egypt. But riddle me this sentence. Papyrus was such a big deal in Egypt, and Egypt as a society was such a big deal in people's minds, that papyrus as a font definitely inspired from them and became a computer font, meaning that the Society of Egypt influenced the age of computers.
And in a way, it kind of lives on.
Through us, in our hearts.
I would like to see...
But that's just one piece. This is one piece, okay? That's just one piece. I think another cool thing about Egypt is that I'm a sucker for a pantheon.
Wait, can you, for those people who don't know, would you tell us what a pantheon is?
Oh, I'm sure. No, most people know. So it's okay. I don't need to.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like a group of gods, you know? It's like a polytheistic.
I thought we were talking about like
a building, because it's a building in Greece. Well, no, there is the pantheon.
Oh, is that like the hall of the gods?
Yeah, it's like a pantheon. You know, I could be wrong. Don't get me. It's certainly possible I could be wrong.
You sound very right about this. I'm feeling really confident in what you just had to say.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because it's like a group of them, you know, it's like and they're all like talking to each other.
Yeah. Well, like, I feel like the Greek gods were always sitting around talking to each other. The Greek gods are always discussing things with each other.
I think I fucking nailed it, actually.
I know. I have a really good sense for when somebody is right.
Yeah, all of the gods of a people or religion collectively. Another option is a group of particularly respected, famous, or important people, but I got one of the definitions right.
Speaking of ancient Egypt...
Yeah, so it'd be like the Egyptian pantheon, you know?
Yeah. There's been rumors that the next God of War game will be set in ancient Egypt. And
that's what I think that's also what got me juiced
really
a little bit.
Cool.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, I don't often say something from a new franchise that they're about to do sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you don't
that
like to get your
does.
Hopes up.
No, because I've been let down countless times.
Yeah. I think it's cool because you've got Anubis. That's the the god of death or something. You got Ra, fucking bird god, sun god. Like
Anubis.
You got all these, and you've got ones that are like people bodies, bird head. You know, there's just something cool about that. You know, you know they had furries back then. So they're
whoa,
like,
don't do them like that.
I mean,
those people definitely were having way more toil and trouble in their life to be able to cosplay as like a dog person.
I'm sure that there was like some sort of like, I bet there were, they definitely had probably masks that they wore to represent Anubis. So there's at least one cosplay of a dog person that happened in ancient Egypt. There was at least one Egyptian furry. There had to be. What are you looking this up? What are you looking this up? Why can't we just talk about it? Why can't we just talk about it? Why do we have to look everything up these days?
I wanted to see what Anubis looked like. I feel like that's fair.
You think about a dog and then put it through the filter of Egypt and then you got it.
Okay.
Egyptian dog.
Yes. I don't think Anubis is a furry.
Okay. Kind of crazy, but go for it. Go for it. I'll give you the floor.
No, that's kind of where it ends.
You don't think that Anubis is a furry because you don't know how to deal with that if he was.
That's 100% true. I don't know how to deal with it.
I don't know how you'd have emotionally are going to be able to navigate that if that turns out to be the case.
Are you going to be able to navigate that?
I think that
I guess you're neutral on them.
Dude, our furry listeners who are Tucker lovers are just like, what?
See you later.
Wait, what?
They, as they take off their furry helmet thing, they're like, what?
I don't think they wear it all the time.
I don't know what the fuck they do. I don't know.
That's okay.
And
yeah, no, I mean, I do. The reality is that there were people cosplaying as Anubis. They had to be.
You're right. You're right. I just don't, you know, I feel like this is a separate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a separate thing because he's a fucking god, first off. So, yeah.
And so is that might be hard to grapple as well. Is it like a furry god might be a lot for you to kind of process?
He's not a furry,
furry
dude.
God.
He's not a furry because he has a man's body. He's got a man's body.
So do 50% of the furries.
You never see a fucking furry walking around where you can see their body. Dude, they've got the suit on because they're gooning under there. They're fucking doing dirty.
Under there?
I think they're doing all sorts of nasty shit
under
there.
You think that they're walking around the conventions jerking off in the suit?
Why not? Wouldn't you?
No, I don't think I would. Wait. Interesting. So does that mean that you're so against furries because you're afraid what will happen once you don the suit?
Once I put it on. No, he's got a man's body.
No. No.
No, he's got a man's body. Anubis is hot.
This is interesting. So the reason why you can't allow Anubis to be a furry is because if he was, that would mean that you think a furry is hot.
All right. I feel like we got to transition out of this Anubis nonsense.
Is a furry shit.
Because we are going in circles. Because
you're
Anubis
right. You're right.
Is not
so
a furry.
We've got, I love the Pantheon. The Pantheon is great.
Yes.
And dude, come on. You've got the pyramids, and we still haven't figured out how they made that shit. We haven't figured it out because, you know,
it's
they say, oh, they made like a big ramp, but then they've done the math on that, and it's like, well, making a ramp that big would take more materials than the pyramid itself.
Yeah, but the thing that I always, that I think people are, this conversation leaks into a lot of history, even like recent history, like the 20th century, where they're like, how are we building these early skyscrapers without modern cranes and all that? People back in the day, even 70 years ago, were built different. They didn't have like anything entertaining to do every day. They had like no entertainment. Like, you're a normal dude in your 20s. You can like go to war. You can like build something with your fucking bare hands, or you can farm. Like, that's really. And if you didn't go to work and like literally, quite literally be productive, you died. Because food, you couldn't just like go to the supermarket and get whatever the fuck. You couldn't just drop like $5 and get like 1,000 calories worth of Cheetos. That's insane.
That's certainly true. Yeah.
You work all day for like 500 calories of corn in the fall. Like, so I think people were built different. I think they were willing to just work all day, because what else are you going to do? If you take away all the things, I think people get busy. And I think that's why these ancient civilizations, there's like a perfect amount of prosperity that builds like crazy stuff. And we're almost getting like past it nowadays, where people are like, we're like have too much. Mm. And there's too many indulgences, which are now like slowing a lot of people down.
Yeah.
But and like, if you're starving too bad, like Jamestown style, like, you're not building anything. You're just like, no, you're I got to keep this fire going.
You're building graves.
You're building graves for everybody. But there's like this perfect window that I think we see in ancient Egypt and like ancient Rome and like early American, like New York City, like early 1900s, where there's just enough resources to keep everyone productive, but there's not shit to do except be productive.
Or drink.
Well,
I would say the rate of alcoholism was probably a lot higher back then. A lot more beatings going on. A lot more trauma being spread around.
That's true. I think people were generally
It's tough. I feel like, you know what's tough about every generation is that people are just as unhappy as they've always been.
Oh, yeah. No, like, you can only get, there's like a, how do I explain this? Every single person from every era on Earth can experience like max happiness. So just because you have modern stuff doesn't mean it's any easier to get happy.
Yeah. Happiness is always relative.
It's relative, and it's conditioned to the environment that you've grown up in.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, if you go put yourself in really harsh conditions and then you come out of it again, you'll have like a new perspective, which is why you see like a lot of fresh immigrants from war-torn countries and stuff, really happy people, because they were conditioned to like misery. And then they're now living in such an affluent area. Like, a small scale is like, you go to boot camp, you come back, and you're just like, oh my God, I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want. Like, this is incredible. I'm so happy. Like, you're just like glowing all day. But then you know, I think happiness is so relative, and no amount of modern tech can get you happiness. Happiness is something that you need to like orchestrate in your life through your choices, kind of. I don't know if that made any sense, but I feel like I set my life up to hit like happiness check marks like as I go, but I'm not always happy in between the check marks, but I know like I'm just grinding to hit the next milestone, and that will be like the big dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And like, I have a lot of things I do that are really like long term goals. And that's what brings happiness. I think that's why people today are so unhappy too, especially like Americans, is because they're frying their dopamine all the time.
So they're not setting up like these long-term hits, you know? You got to invest in the long-term hits because they hit different.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, I feel like that's why fishing as a hobby is really good, because no amount of money or whatever can like make you good at it. You need to just dedicate 10, 20, 30 years to like perfecting the craft, and like you get the dopamine hit off like applying what you've learned yourself and then landing like a nice fish that you were targeting. And then it's like it all comes together. But you have to, like, if you just pay somebody to take you on a fishing trip out in the ocean, and sure, they're going to take you to where the tuna are and you use all their, like, there's nothing, it's not going to hit as hard because you didn't have to do the work. The more work you're willing to put into any trajectory, like, the better it hits and the more likely you are to keep doing it. And I think the olden style of human living allowed that to happen a little more often.
Yeah.
Which is why people built cooler shit. I guess we build cool stuff now, but it's different. Now I'm about to throw you a theory of mine. I feel like you and me and like everyone we know basically follows a religion that is built around technology. So we are all obsessed with technology. And we all, our only focus is like, how do we get the next piece? Like, how do we get the next level of technology?
Hmm.
And this has become like the obsession for most of the world. Because
I can see that. I feel like I used to be that way, but I feel like I'm not as engaged with it now.
Yeah, I can't speak for you.
But. In like obsession over like the newest shiny thing. I feel like, in what way are we? Are we talking about like,
I mean, it's easy to say you're not looking towards it because you already have the top level basically of everything.
Well, I think it's more if we're placing this through the lens of it being a religion, I suppose it's like a, Wouldn't a religion be kind of like in observing it or being engaged with it? Wouldn't that be kind of like a consistent thing?
Well, so because this is just like kind of a thought, I don't have like distinct parameters, but we can kind of like talk through maybe what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like you already are practicing this because you have all of the modern amenities possible, essentially. Like, you basically have all of the cutting-edge consumer tech possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to be like, well, I'm not looking for any more. But if they come out with a computer that's twice as fast as yours, you'll probably buy it. Because you're not satiated if there's something new. If there's a microphone that's got the quality that far exceeds yours, even if you can't really tell the difference, you'll probably buy it. You know what I mean? If the PS6 comes out, you're going to buy it because you're not satiated if you know that there's a newer piece.
I don't know to what degree I agree with this.
Because you just told me 2 days ago you're going to get new monitors.
No, I didn't. I didn't mention new monitors. I talked about investing in a new computer because of the prices of things going up and wanting to have something I don't need to worry about for 4 years. Because usually when I upgrade my computer, it's usually related to my work of creating things as opposed to the technology itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I would view it more as a means to an end than necessarily a worship of technology. Like I don't derive the value of the technology from its existence inherently. I derive its value from what it allows me to do in terms of what my core actual interests are.
I feel like that applies to a lot of religious people as well. Like a lot of Christians, like they don't actually care about God or the Bible. They just want to get to heaven. So they're willing to just like do all this shit to get to heaven. I feel like that's kind of the same argument. Mm. But I don't like again, I don't know the parameters. We're kind of going on live right here. But I feel like there is this worship of technology in Western cultures, which has made us kind of thrash every environment on Earth and use every available resource to us and exploit every possible
person. Yeah, it's definitely
person.
Crazy how much has changed in the last literally like fucking year with building the data centers and shit for AI. Like
that's really nothing new. Like it's a new piece of tech, but we've been exploiting for hundreds of years all of a sudden. Like
I think it's just more of the I think we had spoke about this at one point, like the quiet shift of all these technology companies to no longer being carbon neutral companies. Like they were like, we're a carbon neutral company, and then all of a sudden the AI stuff comes and they're like, actually, we like all the stuff on their websites talking about being carbon neutral. They're like quietly deleting and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the companies are just exist to make money, and the companies are just like kind of abstract concepts. The people make up the companies and people use their products. And with like the technology as a religion argument, like we are all aware, like the modern American is very aware of the intense detriment that modern amenities are having on the world, but no one really cares because they're absolutely addicted to the technology. They're addicted to they're addicted to Wi-Fi, they're addicted to electricity, they're addicted to everything.
Yeah.
Like if the power goes out, people panic. If the Wi-Fi goes out, people panic.
Yeah, not having power. I remember when there was a period where I didn't have power in LA for like a couple days. Few days.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember when I was going to sleep that night, and then I was like, I gotta get up in the morning, but then my phone's at 10% and I have no way to charge it. Like I was like, whoa, wow, this is
what if
you don't have to think about shit like that, and then it happens to you and you're like, oh yeah, no, I rely on a lot of different structures to society in order to get much done.
Because I feel like an ancient civilization, to bring us back into history, tie it all together, is a lot of indigenous groups in the Americas didn't have any interest in technology. They had been sustaining for thousands of years on basically Stone Age tech. And when Europeans showed up who were on this technological journey, this addiction to the next thing,
mm-hmm.
a lot got involved, but a lot didn't. And they just weren't interested in it because they followed a different religion.
Yeah.
Because like, sure, Europeans are Christians or Catholics or Jews or Muslims or whatever, but really they're all addicted to technology. And they started conquering the world to increase the amount of technology they could create. They're like, hey, how can we exploit this to make more money so we can build more tech? And tech back in the day was like guns and automobiles and engines, and now it's the cutting edge is AI and autonomous robots and things like that. But it's always this, we need to be making progress. Whereas some cultures that are basically now extinct because the progress once killed them in the name of progress, they were more living in this holistic kind of way, separate from that, where they were just existing at peace with a lot of different natural elements of the earth.
Yeah.
They were existing almost
like... The Egyptians
like,
were kind of obsessed with death.
They were, yeah.
Build those big tombs.
Does that stuff ever freak you out?
What?
Like, these cultures... There's so many cultures for thousands and thousands of human years that have all these different theories on death and would go to insane lengths to do something about it. Does that ever make you think, like, maybe they're onto something? Maybe there is something going on after the eyes go shut.
I mean, I think that it's inherently upsetting to think that there's nothing after you die. Like, it's just like
the fear
of the unknown, you know? Like, that's just, like, spooky to think that, like, you're just going to fucking be gone because everything, because, you know, you're everything you are, and you wouldn't know about the world if you weren't alive.
And do you ever, I'm going to bring you to a little sub thought that's related to this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in the illusion, and maybe you're in a little too deep, and you try to go to bed, but then you get kind of scared of falling asleep?
I don't get scared. No, I don't think I've ever gotten scared of falling asleep, but I definitely
have gone down
the route of like thinking about death and stuff and being like, oh, what the? Oh, no, that's not fun.
I've had the issue where I'm like laying in bed and I'm like, dude, I don't want to be unconscious. That's kind of scary. It's basically like I'm dead, but I'm not. Because I'm just like, all of a sudden, I'm just turned off from myself. Yeah. And when I'm in the illusion, that gets a little, that kind of starts to sound scary.
Yeah, sleep is definitely weird. And it's funny how most creatures on Earth do it. And it makes you think about, well, what if there was like a different, if there was like a different planet that had like a longer
day-night cycle?
Yeah, a longer day-night cycle.
The thing with planets is like, if you have a longer day, then you got to have a longer night too. Right?
Yeah, like imagine like, I remember I read this book a long time ago. It was called like The Xenocide or something. It was about like literally like the humans killing like a whole species of alien creatures in space or something. But one of their things was that like for a third or half of their year or something, these creatures like just went into hibernation. So they're awake all of the time for half of, you know, half their year or whatever. And then the other half of the year, they were asleep the whole time.
That's kind
so
of
then,
weird.
So then there was like a thing.
That's kind of how
like
we operate, though.
They had some like humans captive or something. And it was like this part of the book where they like these aliens, they had a human captive and they were like, they were remarking on how the human kept kind of like passing out for short bursts, but it was like them going to sleep. And then
these
they
people
also
just
got
slept one long chunk at a time.
Yeah. And then they were also confused as to why the human food they were giving them was making them sick. And they were feeding the person like only chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, just, if you think like
interesting book,
that's kind of exactly like we sleep a third of the time that we exist, essentially.
Yeah.
So, but we just do it in short bursts.
Yeah,
but like a third of your life is spent unconscious, give or take.
It is.
Which is kind of freaky.
I guess we got to keep talking about this on the Patreon, because I think we're out of time now.
Oh, okay. I'll see you guys later.
Well, we're just going to keep chatting on the Patreon, so you can join us over there. $5 a month. Price is a cup of coffee to see an extra episode every week. Patreon.com/takeiteasy. And we'll see you over there.
Thanks for watching.